The bride is supposed to be the center of attention at a wedding, but I couldn't keep my eyes off of the woman in royal blue. The sexy spaghetti strap dress hugged every one of Ireland's luscious curves, and her pinned-up hair showcased a long, delicate neck and that collarbone I loved so much. Her skin was creamy and smooth, perfectly unblemished, and I sat in my seat salivating at the thought of sinking my teeth into it tonight while I tore that pretty dress from her body. She squinted and smirked as she walked toward where I sat, watching her from across the room. "You look devious right now," she said, arriving at the table. I took her hand and tugged her to sit on my lap. "That's because I'm thinking devious thoughts." She giggled.
"Oh, yeah? Tell me about them on the dance floor. I think I'm done with wedding party duty, so I'm all yours for the rest of the night."
I like the sound of that. Out on the dance floor, I pulled her close and rested my cheek against hers. I used the opportunity to whisper in her ear, "Have I told you how beautiful you look tonight?"
"You did, but that's okay. I don't mind hearing it again."
"Women don't usually wear dresses from a wedding party a second time, right?"
"Usually, no, but I think I might get use out of this one. It's so pretty and simple. It doesn't look like a typical maid of honor dress."
I spun us around. "I'll buy you a new one." Ireland's cute little nose wrinkled.
"Oh my God, did I get something on it?"
"No, but by morning it's going to be shredded." Her eyes widened.
"It's ripped? Where?"
"Relax, it's not ripped yet, but I'm literally going to tear it from your body later." She smiled.
"Is that what you were thinking when I walked over? You had such a devilish face."
"It's the only thing I've been able to think about since I picked you up tonight." She tucked her head in so we were cheek to cheek again and whispered in my ear,
"Remember when we danced at the fundraiser?"
"I do."
"My entire body was tingly while I was in your arms, and I had to pretend to be unaffected while we danced."
I smiled. "And I had to keep my hips at a distance so you didn't feel how hard you were making me."
"I guess we've both been attracted to each other from the beginning."
"Sweetheart, you have no idea. You had my curiosity piqued with a drunken email that told me to go to hell." We danced in comfortable silence for a minute. One song ended and a new one began. I was grateful it was another slow song, so I had a reason to keep Ireland in my arms. I shut my eyes and enjoyed the moment, though the woman in my arms must have been looking around.
"I don't want a big wedding like this," she said.
Normally, a woman even mentioning the word wedding had me running for the hills, but not this time. I wanted to hear more. "Were you one of those little girls who played bride when you were a kid? When I was little, my sisters used to spend an entire day making decorations for the living room for their pretend weddings. They'd take turns wearing our mother's wedding dress, and my mother would make me stand as the groom. I hated it." She laughed.
"That must have been adorable."
"It was more like torture." She sighed.
"I didn't have any siblings, and my parents had a screwed up relationship, so maybe that's why I never really imagined my wedding as a little girl."
That made me hold her tighter.
"I'm sorry."
"It's okay.
I'm not sure if little girls dreaming about weddings is so healthy anyway. I didn't play bride, but I definitely played news anchor. I spent hours in front of the mirror talking into my hairbrush handle. At least I didn't grow up chasing some fantasy of what a wedding is supposed to be."
"So no big white dress and 300 people at a catering hall then?" She shook her head.
"Nope. I want to be barefoot on a beach somewhere. Maybe at sunset with a few friends and close family and lights hanging from palm trees while a local calypso band plays."
I smiled. "That sounds nice." It was the first time in forever that I'd discussed anything to do with a wedding without comparing it to my and Lily's fiasco. I had no desire to think of my ex-wife when Ireland was in my arms. With every woman I'd been with since my divorce, I'd wanted that constant reminder, wanted to remember why I needed to keep my distance. Yet with Ireland, I wanted to forget it and move on. The rest of the evening, we alternated talking to her friends, hanging out with the bride and groom, and dancing together. She even made me dance to some pop music, which I never did. But it was worth it to watch her tits bounce up and down while she jumped. By the end of the night, I couldn't wait to get her back to the hotel alone. I'd admitted I couldn't wait to rip the dress off of her, but I knew I would follow her lead as to where she wanted things to go. She'd invited me to stay the night, but I still wasn't sure if she was ready to take the next step. So I slowed things down once we were in her suite. I opened wine and handed it to her while she looked out at the water from the bedroom window. "Thank you." I had to shove my free hand into my pocket to stop myself from touching her. One touch while we were alone in a room with nothing but a bed, and I could be done for. So instead, I sipped my wine and stared out at the sea with her. She turned to look at me. "You're awfully quiet since we got here."
"Am I?"
She nodded.
"Mm-hmm.
And you're awfully far away. For a man who told me my dress was going to be shredded by morning, I figured any quiet would be because your tongue was down my throat. And the farthest we'd make it into the room would be my back against the door."
I turned to look at her. "I'm trying to be a gentleman." She tilted her head.
"Why?"
"Because I wasn't sure of your expectations for the evening. I didn't want to assume that your invitation to stay tonight meant you were ready for anything more than sharing a room." Ireland set her wine glass on the table next to her. She reached up and started to unfasten an earring.
"If you weren't feeling uncertain, what would you want?"
She set the earring down on the table next to her full wine glass and began to unfasten the second one. "What do you mean? What would I want how?" I needed to be sure what she was asking, even though it sounded pretty clearly like she wanted to know what we'd be doing at this very moment if she were game for anything.
"To happen this evening between us. Sexually, I mean."
I drank a big gulp of my wine while she set the other earring on the table. "You sure you want that answer?"
"I do. I want to hear your honest answer."
She smiled, turned around, and gave me her back.
"Would you mind unzipping me?"
"Fuck," I swallowed. "Well, I want to spread you wide on that big bed and eat your pussy for starters, make you dripping wet." Ireland's voice became huskier.
"Anything else?"
I reached for her zipper. My hand shook because of how much effort it took to keep my physical self-control. The sound of the teeth slowly coming apart echoed throughout the quiet room. "Plenty else. I'd lift you up onto the dresser behind me. I've already scoped it out, and it's the perfect height to fuck you while standing up. I want to watch you come and look into your eyes while I plunge as deep as I can and fill you with my cum." She laughed nervously.
"That's pretty specific."
"I'm not done." I reached the bottom of the zipper and couldn't help myself. I slipped my hand inside her dress and ran my fingers up her spine. "Then we'll take a shower together, and I'll hold your ass in my hands with your legs wrapped around my waist and your back against the tile. When you start to come on my cock, I'll slip my finger into your ass so you feel me inside of you in every way possible." She shivered. So I took that as a sign she wanted to hear more. "After that, I'll let you get some sleep, and in the morning, we'll have breakfast together. And by that, I mean, I'll fill your mouth with my cock while I eat your pussy. You'll be on top, so you'll think you have control. But when you start to come on my face, I'll lift my hips and push into your throat a little farther, then I'll fill it with my hot cum." I used my hands to guide Ireland to turn around. The look on her face was a mixture of shocked and aroused. It was sexy as all hell. I cupped her cheeks. "Too much?" She let out a shaky laugh.
"I can never accuse you of holding back, can I?"
"What about you?" I ran my fingers along her collarbone. "What do you want?" She held my eyes while she reached up and pulled the straps from her dress and loosened it from her shoulders. With the back undone, she let go, and the material fell to the floor into a puddle of blue at her feet.
"I'm game for everything you mentioned, except I'd like to add one thing I haven't been able to stop thinking about."
She looked so gorgeous standing before me in nothing but a lacy, royal blue bra and panties. Her ample tits practically spilled over the little cups. Distracted, I'd heard her speak, but didn't really comprehend a word of what she'd said. I shook my head. "I'm sorry, what did you say?" Her lips curved to a wicked grin.
"I said I wanted to add one thing to your plans. Is that okay?"
"Whatever you want." Ireland's eyes sparkled right before she dropped to her knees. "Oh, shit."
I had the strongest desire to close my eyes and thank the dear Lord for getting this woman drunk enough to write a scathing email, but I couldn't take my eyes off the sight of Ireland on her knees in front of me. She unbuckled my pants and unzipped me while I stood, unable to form words. When her little hand reached in and squeezed my already hard cock, I thought I might come then and there. I hissed, "I'm not going to last, sweetheart." She looked up and smiled as she fisted my dick.
"It's okay. We have all night."
She pumped my cock twice, slowly, while she wet her lips, and then she lowered her jaw and slid me inside. There was no preamble, no licking my head and swirling her tongue around my crown, the way most women seem to like to do, which was nice and all, but totally unnecessary when a man is raring to go already. I wasn't sure if I should appreciate that Ireland seemed to know that, or if it should bother me that she did, but as she started to bob her head, I couldn't even remember what I'd been considering debating. Once my cock was inside her beautiful mouth, she lowered her jaw a little more and shocked the crap out of me by swallowing. Fuck me. She can deep throat. I'm done. Just as fast as I was down her throat, she pulled back and let her flattened tongue glide along the underside of my dick as it slid almost all the way back out. Her eyelashes batted, and as she looked up at me, I could see the mirth in her gaze. Jesus Christ, Ireland. She slid back down and again took me all the way into her throat. I had to look up at the ceiling to keep myself from being a two-pump chump who finished before she'd really started. Watching her on her knees, swallowing my cock, was too much to handle. I groaned and reached down to tangle my fingers in her hair. I tried not to look down or watch her head as it bobbed up and down each time my cock went in and out of her throat, but I couldn't fucking help myself. The sight was just too incredible to miss. Ireland took me deep a few more times and then switched from long, deep sucks to short, fast pumps with her mouth and hand. It was seriously the most brilliant thing I'd ever felt. It was like I'd died and gone to porn star heaven. I tried to hold back, but she made it damn near impossible, especially when she reached up and urged my hands into her hair to guide the rhythm. She'd basically given me license to fuck her face. As much as I would have liked to stand here and do that all day long, I only made it three pumps more. The urge to finish was too strong, no matter how hard I tried. I'd told her I wanted to come down her throat, and I did, more than anything. But I also wasn't an asshole. She might deep throat like a porn star, but she was a woman I respected. So I had to warn her. "Ireland, baby, fuck. I'm gonna come." But she didn't move away. I was just about to warn her again, just in case she hadn't heard me. When I looked down, Ireland's eyes were shut, but sensing me, she opened them and looked up. "Babe, I'm gonna come." She responded by sucking me in so deep, I thought I might never come out, not that I wanted to. Ireland St. James's throat was my nirvana, and I never wanted to leave. But she'd heard me loud and clear that time, and she made sure I knew it. She wanted me to come down her throat, and I was fucking thrilled to oblige. With the groan of her name and one more thrust, I stopped moving my hips and let go, filling her throat with a never-ending stream. I barely had the strength to pull her to her feet when she was done. "Jesus Christ, Ireland, how the hell did you learn to do that?" I shook my head, still lightheaded from my release. "Forget it, I don't want to know." Ireland giggled. "I told you I like to watch men being pleasured. Might have picked up a thing or two." I looked up at the ceiling. "Thank you, Lord." Any answer other than her learning it by watching a video would have been totally unacceptable. I smiled. "You couldn't be more perfect if I'd made you myself. By the way, I'm on the pill." It was going to be one hell of a long night.
Chapter 24. I once read an article that said the average time spent on foreplay was 14 minutes. Obviously, in the beginning, things usually went a little longer for a couple, but I'd never spent 2 hours fooling around with a man without getting to sex, even when foreplay was all that was going to happen. But Grant took his time, and I really, really liked that. After I went down on him, he repaid the favor by giving me two orgasms with his mouth. Then we talked while he caressed my body. I thought he needed some recovery time, but when I snuggled closer and felt him fully erect already, I found that was definitely not the case. He studied my face as he touched my body and told me all the things he wanted to do with me, slide himself between my breasts and come all over my neck, take me from behind, blindfold me, tie me to the bed. I should have been satiated after two powerful orgasms, but the more he talked, the more I wanted him inside of me. Grant started at my ear and kissed his way down my body to my toes. Then he licked and sucked his way back up. I was frenzied by the time he finally began to kiss me again. It made me crazy that he didn't seem as desperate as I felt. So I made it my personal mission to make him feel the same way I did. When he kissed my neck, I nudged him a little, encouraging him to roll onto his back, and I climbed onto him. I took his mouth in a kiss as I slid my hips down so my wet center lined up over his erection. Then I started to grind against him as the kiss heated. That did the trick. In one swift move, I was on my back, and Grant was hovering over me again. Only this time, he looked a lot more impatient. The victorious smile I flashed was met with a growl. "I was trying to go slow." I cupped his cheek. "I don't want slow. I want hard. Now." Grant grumbled a few curses as he reached for the nightstand. He grabbed his wallet and ripped out a condom, tossing everything else to the floor. Then he sheathed himself in record time. Reappearing over me, he looked deep into my eyes. "You are," he shook his head. "Incredible." I pulled him down so our lips met and spoke against them. "Every time I look at you, I feel equal parts excited and terrified. But right now, I just want the excitement." Grant never broke our gaze as he pushed inside of me. "Fuck," he swallowed. "You're so wet." He moved in and out slowly, stretching me a little at a time. Even though I was prepared for him, and I obviously knew how thick and long he was since I'd had him in my mouth, it had been a while since I was with a man, and my body needed some encouragement to accept his full girth. His arms shook as he took his time, and when he was finally seated inside me, he groaned. The sound was so guttural and raw, it sent chills down my arms and legs. He stilled and kissed me gently before he looked into my eyes and fucked me the way I needed it. Hard, raw, rough, and real. Each thrust went deeper and harder until the only sounds in the room were my moans and the wet slapping of our bodies against each other. I dug my hands into his hair and tugged, saying his name over and over. The pulsing wave began to roll through me, and Grant's breaths became uneven. We were both losing control at the same time. "Fuck. You feel so fucking good. So fucking good." Grant gritted his teeth. "Don't stop. Yes. Just like, oh, oh." My orgasm hit me like a punch, and whatever words I'd been trying to form were swept away, along with any fear I had. Grant closed his eyes. The muscle in his jaw flexed and the veins in his neck bulged. He sped up his pace and kept going while I rode the wave. As I pulsated all around him, he let out a roar. "Fuck!" His hips bucked, and he planted himself deeply inside of me. After a moment, he kissed my neck and continued to move in and out at a leisurely pace. Pushing the sweaty hair from my forehead, he smiled down at me. "I'm done for after tonight, sweetheart. Now that I know how good it feels inside you, I'm never going to not want to be here." I smiled. "That's okay. I like you here." He kissed my lips softly and nodded. "Yeah, I like you here too." We overslept the next day. I guess technically we didn't, since oversleeping implies that we slept for a long period of time. But since we didn't fall asleep until the sun came up and woke up to the sound of my cell phone only 2 hours later, we really sort of underslept. I cracked one eye open to slide my phone on. "Hello? Why aren't you down here?" "Shit, Mia." I pushed up on one elbow. "What time is it?"
20 minutes after brunch started."
"Oh, crap. I'm sorry. I guess I overslept."
You overslept or someone kept you up all night?
Both, Mia squealed, and I had to pull the phone away from my ear. Grant squinted his eyes open, so I covered the phone.
It's Mia. We're late for brunch.
Tell her we're skipping, and I'm going to eat you again instead.
Of course, Mia heard that, even though I'd had the phone covered. She squealed again.
Get down here now! I want to hear all the details.
Grant took the phone from my hand and looked at me as he spoke.
We need 20 minutes to shower.
His eyes dropped to my exposed breast.
Make that 30.
I had no idea what she said, but he swiped the phone off and buried his head in my neck.
Morning.
I was positive I had the goofiest smile on my face, though I didn't care. Good morning. His hand slipped between my legs, and he ran his fingers over my swollen flesh.
Sore?
I was, but I downplayed it. A little. He caught my gaze.
You sure?
I nodded. Grant plucked one nipple, and it stiffened to a peak.
Good,
he said gruffly.
I want to fuck you from behind in the bathroom, with you bent over the sink and watching in the mirror.
My muscles ached, and between my legs was tender from how many times we went at it last night. Yet thinking about Grant standing behind me while I was bent over already had my body thrumming to life. I bit my lip. Then why are we still in bed? A few heartbeats later, Grant lifted me from the bed and cradled me in his arms. I yelped in surprise, but truly I loved it. I loved the feeling of being in his arms, and the way he could toss me around like I weighed nothing. He carried me into the bathroom with a condom between his teeth, and then we did exactly what he'd said he wanted to do. He fucked me from behind over the sink while I watched. It was fast and furious, but no less satisfying. We both came hard, and it was the perfect way to wake up. After, we got ready quickly and went downstairs to join the rest of the wedding party for brunch. Mia's eyes lit up when she saw us. My hair was tied back in a wet ponytail, and Grant's was slicked back from the shower. She pointed to the empty seat next to her as we approached the table.
Get your butt over here,
I looked at Christian.
Your wife is very bossy.
He smiled and looked at Mia with admiration.
My wife. I like the sound of that.
Grant took the seat across from Christian, and the two of them fell into easy conversation. The newlyweds were going to Kauai for their honeymoon, and apparently Grant had been there before, so they spoke about what boat tour to take and some helicopter ride. Mia attempted to grill me on how things had gone with Grant, but I would only say we had a good night together. Though the smile on my face and the flush still on my cheeks from an orgasm 20 minutes ago probably told her a lot more than came out of my mouth anyway. Overhearing Grant and Christian talk about where Grant had stayed in Kauai, Mia interrupted.
Oh, I saw that place online. It looks gorgeous. But they were sold out. Apparently they lost more than half of the resort in a storm a few years back.
Grant nodded.
Didn't know that.
How long ago were you there?
Grant's eyes flickered to mine for a moment.
8 years ago.
I felt a stab of jealousy, though I knew that was stupid. Grant had probably gone to Kauai on his honeymoon. His marriage was long over, and we'd just spent an amazing night together growing closer, yet I still felt jealous. I tamped down my silly emotions and tried not to let them spoil the euphoric feeling I'd come in with.
So, Grant, Mia pointed her fork at him, now that I'm an old married woman, I think I should warn you that I've mapped out my friend's future. Ireland and I are going to be neighbors with white picket fences and little boys born within a week of each other named Liam and Logan.
I laughed. Mia decided this in fifth grade. We used to walk by these adorable matching houses on our way home from school every day. Two sisters owned them, and they sat on one porch every day on our way to school drinking coffee, and on the way home, they were always seated on the other porch drinking iced tea. We used to wonder if the tea was spiked.
Mia bumped her shoulder with mine. Ours will definitely be spiked.
She looked at Grant.
So which name do you want? Liam or Logan?
Obviously, it was too soon to be talking about anything serious between Grant and me, but the entire thing was said in good fun. Only Grant's answer was serious.
I don't want children.
All of our smiles and laughter disappeared.
Really? I said. Grant nodded. A horrible feeling settled in the pit of my stomach. I knew it wasn't the time or the place for this discussion. Unfortunately, Mia wasn't going to let go so easily. She waved at Grant. Lots of people say that, until they meet the right person. You'll change your mind. Grant's face remained stoic. He looked at me, and then down at his breakfast. There were a few minutes of awkward silence after that. Mia knew I wanted children. And I didn't just want one. I wanted a few. I'd grown up an only child and always longed for sisters or brothers. Eventually, Christian changed the subject back to sports, and he and Grant returned to light conversation. Mia and I exchanged a few glances, and though I joined in the discussion around the table, I couldn't really get past what I'd learned. Grant and I hadn't even been seeing each other long, so I didn't think it should bother me so much. But the bottom line was, I really liked Grant. Most other ideals and values had a workaround for couples. If one wanted to live in the city and the other in the country, you could compromise and have two homes or live on the outskirts of the city where it was a little more suburban. If a husband wanted a stay-at-home wife and the wife wanted to work, they could compromise on a part-time job. But there wasn't any middle ground when it came to having a family. You either had one or you didn't. I tried my best to put a smile on through the rest of brunch, but Grant's comment was like a nagging, dull toothache. When it was time to say goodbye, Mia and I hugged. "Have a great time," I said. "Send pictures." She smiled. "I will. And don't worry about what Grant said. I'm sure he'll change his mind. Men don't know what they want until you show it to them. Well, except a blowjob. They always want a blowjob." I smiled back. "You're right." Though inside I wasn't so sure. Something about the way Grant had said the words made him seem pretty sure. Grant and I had to go back to our room to get our luggage. I hadn't even realized how quiet I'd been on the elevator ride up, or while I packed, until he came up behind me in the bathroom. He rubbed my arms as I grabbed my toothbrush and spoke to my reflection in the mirror. "I didn't mean to catch you off guard or upset you. I'm sorry." I shook my head. "It's okay. There's nothing to be sorry about. Mia put you in that position by talking about her life plans." Grant nodded, but our eyes stayed locked. I got the feeling he was waiting for me to say more, so I did. "Do you really not want children?" He nodded. "Are you sure?" He frowned and nodded again. "But you're so great with Leo." Grant guided me to turn around and tilted my chin up so our eyes met directly rather than through the mirror. "I don't want children, Ireland." "Is it because you were in foster care? Do you mean you don't want biological children because there are so many kids who need homes?" He stared into my eyes. "No, I don't want children at all." It felt like a hit to my gut, because I somehow knew by the look in his eyes that his decision hadn't been made lightly. We'd had such a great night, and I'd never expected that a moment of teasing this morning at breakfast would bring such an immediate and sudden halt to the excitement of what was growing between us. It was shocking, really. I looked down. "Okay."
"I'm sorry."
"No, it's fine. I guess it's better that we have this discussion now than down the road. It's just that..." I looked up and felt my eyes well, which seemed ridiculous. This relationship was so new, yet it felt like I'd suffered a loss. "I really want a family someday. Two or three little ones close in age. Maybe a golden retriever named Spuds. A real full house. Not tomorrow or anything, but when the time is right." Grant nodded.
"Of course."
He pushed a lock of my hair behind my ear.
"And you deserve to have everything you want."
I needed some time to think about this. "We should probably get going. We're past the late checkout time they gave me." We packed the rest of our stuff and headed to the car. Both of us were quiet as we got on the road. Grant took my hand and weaved his fingers with mine before lifting it to kiss the top.
"I have to head to the office for a few hours," he said. "You want me to drop you off at home?"
"Yeah, please." At my apartment, Grant unloaded my suitcase and walked me to the door.
"I'll call you later."
I nodded. He gave me a soft kiss and waited until I got inside. Leaning against the door, it felt like I'd been whiplashed. One minute I was falling for a great guy and we couldn't get enough of each other. The future was so bright. And the next, I needed some time alone to think. And I wondered if we had a future together at all.
Chapter 25. I leaned back in my chair and whipped the pen in my hand across the room. It hit the corner of the credenza and boomeranged back at me, landing on my desk right on top of the most recent letter. Figures. I can't even get that shit right today. Stewing, I picked up the envelope, angrily shredded it into 20 little pieces, and threw them all in the direction of the waste paper basket, half wound up on the floor. I'd come to the office right after dropping off Ireland, thinking I could knock out a few hours of work. But 4 hours had passed, and I'd only managed to get about 5 minutes of business done. I couldn't fucking concentrate. Of course Ireland wanted kids. She was a loving person with so much to offer. It wasn't the first time the subject had come up with women I'd dated. Hell, before Ireland, just having the subject raised by a woman had been a red flag. The mention of any long-term plans meant their expectations were too much, and it was time to call it quits. But Ireland wasn't some fuck buddy I wanted to run away from. I picked up my phone and debated sending her a text. Should I give her some space? Bring it up again? Pretend it never happened and move on? I decided to stop acting like such a pussy and just send a damn text without overthinking it. I'd overthought enough for one day. Grant. Dinner tonight? I could swing by on the way home from the office and we could have Chinese on the boat and watch the sunset. I watched as the little dots jumped up and down, then stopped, then started again. It was a long-ass few minutes waiting while she deliberated over her response. Ireland. I'm actually pretty wiped out. Think I'm just going to crash early. Fuck. I wanted to be with her, even if it meant just sleeping with her in my arms. But she wasn't offering, and I couldn't be a dick and bulldoze my way in with her, so I let it go. Grant. Okay, sleep well. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. She sent back a happy face, though I was sure neither of us was smiling right about now. I managed to answer a few emails and approve a marketing budget before I called it a day. The work would be here when I was in a better frame of mind. Neither of us had gotten much sleep last night, so I convinced myself Ireland was right. Going home and crashing was for the best. Though halfway through my drive, I found myself getting off the highway 2 exits before the marina. Pops had been like a second father to me my entire life, even more so since my dad was gone, and he was the one person I knew would give me the truth, even if it wasn't what I wanted to hear. I just hoped today was a good day for his memory.
Grant, what a nice surprise. Come in, come in.
My grandmother stepped aside for me to enter, and I kissed her cheek as I went through the doorway. How's the alarm system doing?
It's fine, but your grandfather has slept like a baby since it was installed.
Good. I looked around the living room. The house was quiet. Is Pops around?
He's downstairs tinkering in the basement. Last I looked, he was making a miniature coffin for that crazy dollhouse he and Leo love so much. I try to keep away when he's doing the woodwork. The pieces are so small, and I get nervous he's going to cut his fingers off sawing them.
I smiled. Pops had started to forget a lot of things, but using tools wasn't one of them. Though dementia affects the memory, his woodworking skills were more second nature to him than learned. I couldn't imagine there would ever come a time he couldn't make things, whether he knew the name of the person he was making them for or not. I'm going to go down and visit him.
I'll make you some snacks and bring them down in a bit.
Thanks, Graham. I found Pops in his PJs and a bathrobe, with a tool belt wrapped around his hips. He had on a pair of goggles, and his gray hair was littered with wood shavings as he planed down the rough sides of a tiny coffin to make them smooth. He smiled when he saw me, lifted the goggles to rest on top of his head, and held up 3 fingers with band-aids.
"Mousetraps," he said.
My brows drew together. "You have mice?"
"Not that I'm aware of. But I used the little old wooden traps to make floorboards for the bedrooms and the hinges to attach the coffin doors. Leo set one up with cheese while we were working last week to see if he could catch a mouse. I picked it up this morning. Cheese is still there. He wiggled his fingers. Now some of my skin is, too. I chuckled. Gotta be more careful, Pops. Grams is already worried about you using power tools. Cut off a finger and you'll come back from the hospital with an empty workshop. Pops muttered. She worries like a rocking chair. Gives her something to do, but it never gets her anywhere. I walked over to the creepy dollhouse and checked out the new pieces he'd made this week. There were tiny wood-framed mirrors with scary faces painted in them, a few hanging ghosts, and a fireplace carved with an ornate, angry wolf's head. Picking up the fireplace, I admired the workmanship that had gone into it. Pops was truly gifted. So what's new? I asked as I set the fireplace back down in the dollhouse.
Nothing. And that's exactly how I like it at my age. Every time I get something new, it's a pill, a pain, or prostate exam I don't enjoy.
He looked over at me and set down his tool and the wood he'd been sanding. Under his woodworking table were two stools. He pulled one out and slid it over to me before taking a seat on the other.
Have a seat. Tell me what's bothering you.
How do you know something's bothering me? Pops lifted his chin and pointed to my pants.
Your hands are shoved in your pockets. Always a dead giveaway with you. Remember the time you cut off your sister's ponytail while she was sleeping because she left your bike outside and it got stolen?
I laughed. It never ceased to amaze me how far back he could remember, even in stage one of dementia. Yet sometimes he forgot the simplest things right after he heard them. I remember. Someone found the bike the next day and returned it, but Mom didn't let me ride it again for months.
You had your hands in your pockets that day. Probably because you also had her damn ponytail shoved in there. You have done it every time you were worried about something since.
I wasn't so sure he was right, yet I made a conscious choice to remove my hands from my pockets before I sat down. I sighed.
Am I a selfish person?
Pops frowned.
You mean because you hold the reins at work and boss around your sisters?
That hadn't been what I was referring to, but thanks, Pops. I shook my head.
I met a woman. Pops nodded. The looker? Charlize?
I chuckled. Yeah, that's her.
Good choice. She seems like a woman who won't put up with your shit.
Pops wagged a finger at me.
That's the key to a happy marriage. Marry a woman who scares you a little. One who makes you think, what the hell is she doing with a jackass like me? Then spend the rest of your life trying to live up to what you think she deserves.
Pops had a lot of wisdom, and I knew he was right, but I wasn't asking the question I really wanted answered. So I took a deep breath and spit out what was really bothering me.
It's new, but I really like her, and she wants kids.
Pops held my eyes as so many unspoken words passed between us. He didn't need any more of an explanation about why that was an issue for me. His face saddened, but he nodded.
So you think you're selfish for not wanting kids?
I nodded.
You're not selfish, son. You just don't know how to deny someone you love anything. That's an admirable quality in a man. Your situation is different than a man who doesn't want children because he likes his lifestyle. I could see how that might seem somewhat selfish, though it's still a person's choice. It's their life. But you, it's not about that. I'd guess that deep down you even want to have children, that your reasons are more of a protective nature for a future child and maybe even a little for yourself.
I felt a heavy weight on my chest and looked down.
I don't know about that, Pops.
When I looked back up, he caught my gaze.
Do you trust me?
Of course I do.
Then trust me when I say you're not selfish. That's not what this is about.
Pop sighed.
Have you spoken to your lady about your reasons?
I shook my head.
Well, that's where you need to start. If nothing else, at least you'll understand your position better.
It's not something that's easy to explain.
Of course not. But I think you need to tell your story. It's been a long time coming. And even if you can't work out your differences, it's important for you to come clean with her and yourself.
Ireland blew me off again on Monday. By Tuesday morning, I was feeling restless and snapping at my staff.
Even Millie was keeping her distance. But then my desk phone rang in the early afternoon, and the caller ID flashed the name Ireland Richardson. My heart was pumping before I even lifted the receiver. "I got my zoning variance." I smiled at the sound of her voice. I'd forgotten her hearing was this morning. "That's great news. I'm glad it worked out."
"It didn't work out. You made it work out. Thank you so much, Grant. I owe you one."
My normal response would have been, "Why don't you bring your sexy ass up here to my office and I'll cash that chip in after I lock my door." But things still felt off. So instead I said, "You're welcome." But it was really no trouble at all. I think I might have even found a new contractor to finish the bathroom. He said if I could get someone in to sheetrock by midweek, he could tile the shower and floors. Then the plumber would just need to come back to set the sink and toilet, and I'd have at least one working bathroom. If I can get that and a bedroom done, I could move in when my lease is up and get the kitchen and other rooms done slowly.
"Do you have a drywaller lined up?"
She sighed. "No, but I'm going to start searching as soon as we hang up."
"You just need the bathroom done this week?"
"Yeah, so hopefully it won't be too hard to find someone."
I remembered all the house construction Pops and I had done over the years. They were actually some of the best memories of my life. We'd spend the day bullshitting and laughing, and things would somehow get done, which gave me an idea.
"You don't have to call around. I have someone for you."
"You do?"
"I do."
"Oh my God, I wish I could climb through the phone and kiss your face right now."
I grinned. "Save that thought, because that's how you'll be paying the contractor who's going to do your work."
"Did you just tell me I have to make out with the contractor?"
I chuckled. "I most certainly did."
"Now I'm lost. Who is this contractor?"
"Me."
Chapter 26. God, I like that tool belt. I leaned against the doorframe, watching Grant work in the front yard. He had a piece of sheetrock set up on two sawhorses and was running a saw over it to fit into an area of the bathroom he'd just measured. He had on a pair of jeans, work boots, a t-shirt, and a ratty old tool belt. And he looked ridiculously hot. I mean, I loved him in a well-fitted suit, and I loved him with a pair of board shorts on his boat. But this? This made me want to get sweaty and dirty. "Keep looking at me like that, and nothing is going to get finished." His head had been down, and I hadn't even been aware that he knew I was watching. I sipped water from a plastic bottle. "Pay attention to the saw in your hand. I wouldn't want you to cut off anything important." Grant lifted the cut sheetrock upright, pulled the goggles from his head, and hung them on the end of one of the sawhorses. He carried it up the steps and stopped in front of me, in the tight space of the doorway, to plant a chaste kiss on my mouth. "Let's get finished. Every time I pass the frame where the kitchen counter will be, all I can think about is how it's the perfect height to fuck you." Despite my confusion about our future, I seriously had it bad for this man. One kiss and the mention of sex, and I could feel my nipples harden and a tingle between my legs. I had to clear my throat to not show how affected I was. "Better get back to work, or I won't pay you later." His eyes darkened. "Try not to pay me later, sweetheart." While Grant went back to the bathroom, I sat down on the steps of the porch. I wanted things to truly be as light and easy as they'd felt for the last few minutes. I'd avoided Grant since my discovery that he didn't want children. I'd given a lot of thought to breaking things off with him. I already had strong feelings, and spending more time together would likely just make it worse when the time came. But that was logical, and the heart doesn't do logic. So for now, for the short term anyway, I'd decided to stay in the moment. I wasn't ready to give up Grant. And I wasn't ready to accept that I might not have a family someday. Basically, I'd decided avoidance was my current tactic. I also needed to understand why Grant was so adamant about not having children, and if there might be some compromise on that someday. On that thought, I went back to the bathroom to be in the moment with my sexy construction worker. Grant was screwing in the drywall he'd cut. "What can I do?" I asked from the doorway. "If you're good at measuring, you can take that tape measure over there and figure out the dimensions of the last piece we need to cut." I smiled. "I can do that." He looked over his shoulder at me. "You've measured before, right?" Of course. I actually hadn't, unless you counted slipping the tailor's measuring tape around my waist when I was on a kick to lose an inch. But how hard could it be? After I measured and typed the dimensions into my phone, I waited for Grant to finish. He lifted his chin to the area that still needed drywall.
Want me to double-check what you came up with?
I put my hands on my hips. Do you think I'm incompetent because I'm a woman? Grant raised his hands in surrender.
Nope. I'm sure you did fine. It's just that we only have one piece of sheetrock left. So if we screw it up, we'll have to make another run to the store.
I didn't screw it up. I really, really hope I didn't, anyway. Back outside at the saw, I enjoyed the way Grant's muscles bulged as he held the sheetrock in place. How often do you work out? Grant looked up at me.
5 days a week. More if I'm frustrated and need to burn off some steam. Needless to say, it was 7 days a week for a while there after I ran into you at that coffee shop.
I tilted my head. So now I don't frustrate you? He smirked.
Didn't say that. But now I have a much better way of working that frustration out. On you.
He finished cutting, and I followed him to the bathroom to put up the last piece. Only when he raised the sheetrock to the wall, it was a few inches too small. My eyes bulged.
You cut that wrong.
Grant's brows shot up.
Me? Pretty sure it's your measurement that's off.
I squinted.
It is not.
Uh-oh. Grant looked up at the ceiling and mumbled something, then took a deep breath and exhaled.
Care to put a little wager on who's right?
What did you have in mind? He looked down at the knee pads he'd been wearing all day.
My cut matches your measurements, and you'll be wearing these.
Oh. Well, it wasn't like it was a hardship if I lost. I reached out to shake on the deal.
Fine. But if I win, you're going to take off all your clothes, except the tool belt, when you're on your knees.
Grant reached around me to grab the tape measure and lowered his face to mine for a kiss.
You like the tool belt? I'll wear it every fucking day.
I smiled.
Pretty sure people at the office would think you'd lost it.
Grant measured the open space on the wall and showed me the width.
32 3/4, do you agree?
I leaned in and checked.
Yep, 32 3/4.
He pointed to my phone.
Read me the dimensions you called out.
I held my breath as I swiped my cell alive. I hated to be wrong, but the way Grant was all bossy in his construction worker outfit really worked for me, and I secretly hoped I was this time. Dropping to my knees sounded pretty good right about now. I looked at my phone and smiled broadly as I turned it around to show him what I'd typed in. Grant's face wrinkled.
You do know that says 22 3/4, right?
I know. My smile widened.
That means you lost the bet.
I bit my bottom lip and dropped to my knees.
I know. You can keep the knee pads on. And the tool belt.
An hour later, Grant was a lot more relaxed as we walked around Home Depot. Since we were here anyway, I wanted to show him the two tiles I was considering for the bathroom. But the aisle was closed off while they used a forklift to take a pallet down from the top shelf, so Grant said he'd go get a cart in the meantime. When they opened the aisle, a construction worker struck up a conversation with me.
Trying to decide between the two? Go with natural stone rather than the ceramic.
Oh, really? Why?
Ceramic chips easily, stone doesn't. And if you like that one in your left hand, they make it in a tumbled version too. Stone doesn't chip easily. And tumbled stone, you can't even tell when it does chip.
Oh, that's great to know, thanks. He smiled.
No problem.
Are you a tile contractor?
Nah, not by trade. I'm a drywaller.
Grant walked up the aisle, pushing one of those tall carts you put big items on. He stopped next to me and eyed the guy like a suspect.
I was actually looking for a drywaller. Never thought of trolling the aisles at Home Depot to find one.
The guy dug his wallet from his back pocket and slipped out a business card. Offering it to me, he smiled.
If you need help again, give me a call.
I took the card.
I will. And thanks for the education on tile.
When the guy walked away, I looked at Grant.
I found a drywaller.
He plucked the card from my hand.
Who wants in your pants? I'll file this for you.
Grant crumpled up the card. Oh my God, you're jealous?
No, I'm not. I'm territorial.
That's the same thing.
Whatever. Show me the tile.
I grinned and sing-songed, Grant's jealous. He shook his head.
You're a pain in my ass, you know that?
I pushed up on my tippy toes and brushed my lips with his. You'd be bored with easy. After looking at the tumbled stone tile, I still couldn't decide. Grant loaded a box of each onto the cart and told me he'd lay them out on the floor when we got home so I could decide, then return the one I didn't pick. Outside, he had to leave his trunk open and tie the big piece of sheetrock in place so it didn't fall out. It was a pretty funny sight. Grant's expensive Mercedes with a piece of rope keeping construction materials inside. Something tells me this is the first time this car has ever had sheetrock in it.
I hire people because I'm busy, not because I'm incapable of doing it myself.
I know. And the fact that you made time for me means a lot. Grant looked back and forth between my eyes and nodded.
Come on, let's get this stuff back. And this time, we'll use my measurements.
Chapter 27. A week later, Grant and I seemed to have settled back into the comfort we had before Mia's brunch. We ate lunch in his office most days and took turns staying at each other's places. But we still hadn't had any more conversation about having kids someday. We'd just moved on. I'd mentally made a decision that I wasn't ready to make a decision about whether having children meant more to me than having Grant. I guess I just hoped things would work themselves out. Maybe I'd discover Grant wasn't Mr. Forever, or he'd soften on his position. Either way, it kept me from having to make the decision to walk away, which I definitely wasn't ready for at the moment. On Saturday morning, I woke up from the rocking. It was the first time I'd slept on Grant's boat and felt more than a light sway. Patting the bed next to me, I found cold sheets instead of a warm body. So I pulled on the dress shirt Grant had worn to work yesterday and went searching for its owner. I found him outside on the back deck. The wind blew, sweeping up the bottom of his shirt, and I caught it just as it was about to flash my ass.
It's so windy.
Grant nodded.
Storm's brewing.
The sun looked like it was trying to come out, but the sky was so cloudy, it just turned everything an ominous dark gray color. Grant held out his hand and guided me to sit in front of him, between his open legs.
Do you stay down here during a storm?
Sometimes. Depends on how bad it is. We don't really get too many days where there are whitecaps in the inlet.
How long have you been awake?
He shrugged.
I don't know. A few hours.
I turned my head and looked up at him.
What time is it?
About 6.
And you've been up for a few hours?
Grant nodded.
Had trouble sleeping.
Is everything okay?
Just some work stuff on my mind.
We sat quietly watching the sky for a little while. Then Grant spoke again.
I'm full of shit.
My forehead wrinkled.
About what?
He shook his head.
It's not work that's bothering me.
I sat up and turned around to face him. When I'd walked out, I hadn't really taken a good look at him, but now I could see his face was etched with tension.
What's going on? Talk to me.
He looked down for a long time. When he looked up, his eyes were watery.
Today is Leilani's birthday.
I was confused.
The boat?
Grant shook his head. He looked over my shoulder at the sky and swallowed before his eyes met mine again.
My daughter.
What?
He closed his eyes.
She would have been 7.
Would have been. I clutched my chest. Oh my God, Grant. I had no idea. I'm so sorry. He opened his eyes and nodded. My daughter. 2 simple words that explained a whole lot. The name of the boat. Obviously the reason he didn't want to have kids. It was like the missing puzzle piece of Grant Lexington swirled around in the air and clicked into place.
Was she sick?
Grant kept staring out at the turbulent sky. He shook his head. My eyes widened.
What happened? An accident of some sort?
A tear rolled down his cheek as he gave the slightest nod. I wrapped my arms around him and hugged as tight as I could.
I'm so, so sorry. So very sorry.
Grant's pain was palpable,
and my own tears started to flow. I have no idea how long we stayed like that, clinging to each other, but it felt like hours. So many questions swirled around in my head. What kind of accident was she in? Why didn't you tell me until now? Is that why you spent the last 7 years keeping women at a distance? Have you been to therapy? Did she look like you? But obviously the subject wasn't an easy one for him to talk about, so I needed to let him decide what he was ready to share. At one point, someone yelled hello to Grant from the dock, and he raised a hand to wave. I took the opportunity to sit up and look at him. Do you want to talk about it? I'd love to hear all about her. Grant looked me in the eyes. Not today. I leaned forward and pressed my lips to his. I understand. And I'm here whenever you're ready. The first raindrops started to fall a few minutes later, so we went inside. Grant looked exhausted, so I led him back downstairs to the bedroom, and we got back into bed. He wrapped me in his arms, spooning me from behind and gripping me so tightly it bordered on painful. But it didn't matter. If holding me gave him even 1 ounce of comfort, I'd let him crush me. At some point, I felt his grip loosen, and the sound of his breathing slowed. He'd fallen back asleep. Though I couldn't. There was way too much to go over in my mind. Grant had a daughter, who would have been 7 today. Her name was Leilani, and she had a boat named after her. And Grant lived on this boat, seeing his little girl's name in big, bold letters every single day when he came home. My aunt used to say grief was a lot like swimming in the ocean. On the good days, we could float on top with our heads above water, feeling the sunshine on our faces. But on the bad days, the water grew violent, and it was difficult not to get sucked under and drown. The only thing we could do was learn to be stronger swimmers. But I knew there was another way to keep afloat, find a life raft. I'd been young when I lost my mother so tragically, and my aunt had become just that for me. I didn't know if Grant had a life raft, but I felt like maybe, just maybe, everything happens for a reason, and I was here to pay it forward and be that for him.
Chapter 28. 7 years ago. All good things must come to an end. Whoever coined that phrase must have been a goddamn genius. I was an idiot for thinking the normalcy that lasted while Lily was pregnant would continue. It had hung on a little while after she gave birth, and 2 months ago, we'd left the hospital practically floating. In the weeks that followed, though, things started to break down a little bit each day. Lily had trouble sleeping and was irritable. But we had a newborn, and after I went back to work, she did most of the getting up at night. So who wouldn't be tired and cranky? At 6 weeks, we went to her postpartum checkup. When the doctor asked about mood swings and depression, I mentioned the changes in Lily, since she'd answered that everything was great. But Dr. Larson only patted my hand and told me an adjustment period was normal. Lily's hormones were going back to normal, she had the stress of new motherhood, and Leilani seemed to have her days and nights mixed up. I left feeling hopeful that I'd been overly concerned. Things started to go downhill pretty steeply the next few weeks. Lily became almost paranoid that something bad was going to happen to the baby. She didn't even want the nurse to hold Leilani at her 2-month checkup, claiming she wasn't supporting her head enough. Everyone seemed to chalk the behavior up to motherly instincts, a hyper-protectiveness that stemmed from her trying to be the best mother she could. Again, it made sense. But in the last week, everything had begun to unravel. Lily couldn't sleep, like, at all. She was physically exhausted, yet barely allowed me to touch the baby. She claimed Leilani liked things a certain way, and I wasn't doing it right. But I had the feeling she didn't trust me around my own child. Her paranoia seemed to spread wider and deeper each day, and we argued about it. In fact, lately it seemed like all we did was argue. Saturday night, I was intent on making things between us better. I made Lily's favorite dinner. It was a beautiful night. And she sat on the back deck with the baby cradled in her arms, looking peaceful for a change. "Do you want to eat outside?" I asked, poking my head out from the cabin. "Or should I set up dinner in here?"
"I'm not hungry."
I frowned. "You didn't eat anything today."
"I can't help it if I'm not hungry,"
You need to eat, Lily.
Fine, I'll have a little.
Inside or outside? She shrugged.
Wherever.
I sighed and went inside to plate the food. Since we had Leilani's bouncy chair and a dozen other contraptions inside the cabin, I figured it would be easier to eat there.